Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network, talking about the cost of education right now with our next guest. If you have someone in your family who's trying to save for college, you know what a challenge it can be. And our next guest has some good advice for you. Linda Lambert is our guest, the Financial Capability Director for EdVest. It's the college savings program at the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institution. She'll explain who the program's for, how it works, and how you can sign up. And, of course, we'll take your questions. Maybe you're participating in EdVest. I'd love to hear your experience with it. Is it working for you? What questions do you have about the program or saving for college? Join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Linda Lambert, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. I'm really excited to be here today, and obviously excited to talk about one of my favorite topics, college savings.
Well, let's start. Maybe explain the idea behind EdVest.
Yep. EdVest is one of Wisconsin's 529 college savings plans. And 529 comes from the Federal Internal Revenue Code, 529. And it is designed to help provide incentives for individuals save for college. So under the Wisconsin 529 College Savings Program, we have two plans. One is EdVest, which is offered directly to families, and then we have a second plan, Tomorrow Scholar, which is available through investment advisors or broker-dealers. Both of those are designed to help families save for higher education expenses and to help individuals fulfill their higher education dreams through a college savings program.
Yeah, and there are programs like this in other states as well, are there not?
Yes, every state across the country offers a 529. Some of them are savings plans. Some of them are prepaid tuition units, which actually Wisconsin used to have one, but most states have at least a direct college savings program, and some offer an advisor sold, like our Tomorrow Scholar.
Do you have to live in Wisconsin to contribute to the Wisconsin's EdVest?
No. In fact, we have quite a few individuals. Probably close to 90% of our funds in EdVest do come from Wisconsin residents, but only about 75%. So 25% for Tomorrow Scholar are in-state. So that means 25% come out of state. And there's an incentive because not only if you're a Wisconsin resident, we have a tax incentive. So, for example, this year contributions up to $3,380 into either of our plans are tax deductible, directly deductible off your Wisconsin income tax. But the attractiveness to out-of-state residents is because our plans are among the lowest, offer the lowest administrative fees. They have been rated really high with like savingforcollege.com, which is an industry leader, and Morningstar. So we have received a lot of great recognition, as well as the investments are considered, they do really well. And so that's the attractiveness for out-of-state residents as well.
Yeah. Now, in terms of contributing to an account, who's eligible to contribute to EdVest accounts?
Anyone is eligible, and if you are 18 years or older, you can set up an account, and you can set up the account either for yourself or a child, a beneficiary, and anyone can contribute to that account. So a parent can set it up for their child, an aunt can set it up for their niece or nephew. You can set up the account for anyone, or a grandparent can set it up for grandchildren. And once the account is set up, the individual who is making a contribution, again, up to the first $3,380 for married couples filing They can take that 3380 directly off their income tax. And if a grandparent sets up the account or an aunt or uncle, they can also take that same contribution. It's that or take that same deduction from the contribution. So that deduction is based on the account, the unique account and beneficiary. So there's that's probably one of the top benefits and advantages. But in addition, the funds, once they're in the account, they grow. Any appreciation or interest also is tax-free from federal and state taxes, as well as when time comes to take the money out of the account to use for your college education and expenses, those dollars are not taxed either. So it's kind of a triple tax advantage using a college savings program.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave in Madison has a question. Dave, thanks for calling.
Hey, I have a daughter that's 3 and a son that's 1, and we have EdVest for both of them, but my wife and I have been watching the news, and there's talk of, like, well, no charge for state college at anybody under $125,000 in Vermont, I think was the last thing we saw. And we're curious if something like that happens, what happens to the money we've saved in our EdVest account?
So, first of all, sorry, Larry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's an interesting question, Linda.
Yeah, we've been looking at this a lot, and obviously we're following the federal and state legislation very closely. I'm not sure if, you know, but again, we're going to just guess. I'm not sure if it will be 100% paid for, but either way, those dollars that you contribute into your college savings plan are always yours. They don't go away. And, you know, oftentimes people think of them as, you know, 18, 20 years that you're saving and then your student or child uses them for college. But these dollars can be carried forward for as long as you'd like. I often hear stories of people saying, you know, I didn't use it all. One, you can also transfer it to another sibling or even up to a first cousin. But then they say, well, I just kept it and I used it when I had children and transferred the beneficiary into my child's name. So the dollars never go away. They're always there for you, and you can always use them for some form of college. And then even if an individual, whether it's the account owner or the beneficiary, or again, if they transfer it to another beneficiary, can use those dollars for, you know, advanced, you know, like if you're going back to school to retool, to get an advanced degree or a certification, you can also use the $529 dollars for those expenses as well. So there's a lot of for it.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be college per se, does it? If you,
correct.
Let's say you want to go to become a beautician.
Yep. So interesting. So Wisconsin actually has expanded, even just this year, they expanded the definition of a qualified higher education expense. So in addition to college, you can also use those dollars for K through 12 private tuition. And up to $10,000 a year can be used towards that. In addition to that, you can use it for an apprenticeship. So this actually was under the Federal Secure Act a year and a half ago, and Wisconsin just adopted it retroactive to the plan. So that now any expenses for, you know, equipment or fees or books that you have to pay for to apply and attend an apprenticeship, those dollars are also eligible to be used from your 529 plan. And then lastly, also that was just passed, is up to $10,000, a one-time use of up to $10,000 can be applied toward a student loan of the individual or a sibling. So if you have an older child who graduated and your younger child has extra dollars and your older child has a student loan debt, you can use those dollars to pay off the student loan debt as well.
That's pretty cool. Mary in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mary. Oh, we lost Mary. Cheryl messaged to ask if you need to leave your annual EdVest contribution in the account for a certain period of time before withdrawing to get the benefits. She heard you have to leave it in for a full year. What happens if you have to pull it out early?
So all that retains to him. Think of it as in accounting, first in, first out. So the first dollars in are used. But in the last year, for instance, a senior, if you're still contributing into that account, there's something that's called a 365-day rule. So what that means is if you are pulling out dollars that have not been in that account for 365 days, you're essentially not eligible for the tax deduction. That's all it is. So if you have $2,000 in an account and you put an additional $500, and within that year you tap into and say take out $2,100 and you tap into that $100 of that last $500 you just deposited, you could not take the tax deduction on that $100. But as long as the other dollars that you're withdrawing have been there for at least 365 days, there's no tax disadvantage.
Can you contribute more than the tax deductible amount?
Absolutely. So it's only the first $3,380 that you can take a tax deduction. Anything above that is not only eligible to as a contribution, but in addition, if you do put in more, you can also carry it forward to subsequent years. So if you put in $10,000 one year, you can carry those extra dollars forward and take a tax deduction in subsequent years. But either way, even, you know, you still have the advantage of if you don't get the tax advantage, if you put in $10,000 for this year, for example, you're still eligible for those dollars appreciating tax-free, and then when you're taking the dollars out, you are not being taxed on it. So all of those advantages still apply, even above the $3,000 tax deductible advantage.
What are the advantages for contributing to the account if you aren't the parents?
So grandparents can also make a contribution, and they can either make it into their child's, for their grandchild's account, or they can set up their own separate account. And the same advantage, they have the tax deduction. They also can gift. So if grandparents want to make a larger contribution, there is a gift tax affiliated with the EdBest account that they can take up to, $15,000 per account. So they have a greater advantage. But again, any account owner or anyone who wants to make that contribution is eligible for the same tax advantage.
So they could contribute up to $15,000 without sort of penalty in a way?
Yeah, that's a gift. That comes under the gift tax, so they can make a larger contribution under the gift tax.
Man, oh man. So there's lots of advantages to the program. I was fortunate to have a little extra money when my daughter was born, not long after she was born, so I was able to put money into the 529 account, and it was a fair amount of money. And now I'm here 18 years later. She's going off to college, and there's pretty much everything's going to be taken care of through that account.
That's so terrific.
I got to tell you, I'm breathing a sigh of relief when it comes to that. Linda Lambert, our guest today, Financial Capability Director for EdVest, the College Savings Program for the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. She's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll take a look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Linda Lambert. I'm Larry Mailer. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mailer here, talking about a program that can help you save for college for you or your kids. Our guest is Linda Lambert. She's the Financial Capability Director for EdVest, the College Savings Program at the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. So what would you like to know about how they invest, perhaps? What questions you have about allowable deductions, for example? Join in. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. And let's take a call. Christina in Glenwood City, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Thank you. My sister lives in Illinois. She has a three-year-old granddaughter. Currently, she has a college savings account in her local bank. She has a very bad relationship with the granddaughter's mother and their family. So how would she set up an account in Wisconsin? What if my sister were to pass before her granddaughter is of college age? Or what if her granddaughter does not want to go to college?
Hi, this is Linda.
Interesting.
A couple parts to your question. I would answer a couple things. If your sister lives in Illinois, she can set up an EdBest account. She can set up an Illinois college savings account as well. She can name herself as the account owner. She can also have someone else's name, like you, for instance, can be the account owner. You could set up the account, and she can make contributions into it. She won't be able to be eligible if she sets up an EdBest account. She's not eligible for the Wisconsin tax deduction because she doesn't pay Wisconsin income tax, but there's still advantages to opening the Wisconsin program, like I mentioned earlier. And, you know, once the account is set up, you can also designate an alternative account owner. So if she does set it up in her own name, she could identify yourself, for instance, as an alternative account owner if she were to pass before. So you set up a designated beneficiary for the account owner as well. So there's a lot of options that are available to the account. And I know you had another part to your question. I'm not sure I answered everything.
If she did not want to go to college.
Oh, sure. If she doesn't want to go to college, we mentioned that earlier too. The child can use the funds for apprenticeship and also for K-12 education. But if they decide they don't want to use it at all, they can hang on to it, pass it on to another beneficiary. So as that child becomes legal age at 18, they are the account owner, and they can name any beneficiary at any time. So they could save it for their own children going down the road. Or if they decide they just want to take the dollars out, they can take those dollars out. You would be subject to the tax. You'd have to pay any tax deduction on the dollars that was received initially. You would have to pay income tax on those. But if your sister is out of state, that wouldn't be an issue because she wouldn't have taken a tax deduction. And then there is a 10% penalty on distributions for other than qualified higher education expenses.
Okay, there you go. And when we're talking about expenses, it's a pretty broad range of things, isn't it, Linda, that are covered?
It is. It's not only tuition, it's books, it's fees, it's room and board, it's computers. There's a very long list. Actually, if you go on to the edbest.com, we have a link to the qualified higher education expenses list. It's also on the IRS, or if you Google it, you know, qualified higher education expenses, you'll get the list. But it, you're right, it is very extensive, and it's pretty broad, intended to pay for expenses while children are at school. And Larry, I wanted to also add, you had talked about earlier whether or not there's additional advantages, and I mentioned that individuals, we call it super funding. If you wanted to super fund an account, make a one-time contribution. So I mentioned you're exempt from the federal gift tax on contributions up to $15,000 a year. That's for single filer. So if you're married, you can contribute up to $30,000 into an account annually. Or if somebody comes into an inheritance and they want to make a one-time contribution, they can take up to $150,000 for married filers, and they just prorate it over 5 years. And so they can carry that forward and take the tax exemption over 5 years.
Christina, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Nick in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Nick.
I've got a quick question for you. We were at the place at an event at the Brown County Arena called the Einstein Project, and there's a gentleman there that was a financial advisor, and he said not to invest in EdVest because it affects the grants and stuff. He said not to invest it because it kind of messes up with your grants and your loans and stuff. And I didn't quite understand what he's saying because I thought EdVest was awesome, but I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, it's actually very small impact. So, for instance, most individuals, children will file for the FAFSA, the federal application for financial aid. And you do have to identify if you have funds in a 529 college savings program, but it's counted only at 5.6% of your income. So it's a very, very small amount. And so I've never heard anyone say that it was enough to be an impact or a negative impact. It definitely is counted, but it's only counted a very small amount. And new, there's what is called a grandparent 529. Those dollars, if they are in that account, won't be counted on as the student's income. So another way to minimize the impact, but it is a very small impact on your ability to get financial aid or grant for the student.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Arlene in Burlington, we'll go to you now. Hi, Arlene.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. We have stock that we would like to contribute, and the 529s don't take stock. And if we sell the stock and contribute the money, we have to pay capital gains on it. What are the options?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. In a 529 plan, they are not eligible to take stock. You have to liquidate the funds in order to put them in. The only other way is if you had another 529 plan and you had like a mutual fund in that or an investment option such as a mutual fund or ETF, you could roll that over, but unfortunately 529s don't accept stock.
Yeah, that's one of the disadvantages. Arlene, thank you so much for calling. You can join in too. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. How is the money invested EdVest or through EdVest?
So EdVest alone offers 25 different investment portfolios. They vary from aggressive, moderate, or conservative. So depending on the individual's investment experience and knowledge or comfort, they can have a number of options. Oftentimes, you can just set up what we call it's our enrollment year investment portfolio. So if you have a newborn, you would elect the 20,039. So in 18 years, we have similar to a retirement fund, the target fund, based on the enrollment year of the student is when you would invest those dollars or which portfolio you would invest in. And over time, the risk level in those funds will automatically shift from an aggressive to a more conservative. So the closer you get to your student, closer your student gets to the time they're going to go to school, those funds are invested much more conservatively because the objective is preservation of capital. And then alternatively, and then we also have, if someone wants a very conservative fund and preserve capital. It is a stable principal protected investment, which is made up of money market and CDs, bank CDs.
So what is is there sort of an average rate of return on the money that gets put in, Linda?
There really isn't an average because, you know, as I mentioned, we have 25 different options. So depending on the option and depending on the market fluctuation, it's really hard to predict. But, you know, the best thing I would say is look at the market over the past years, because they always say historical returns sometimes predict the future. But, you know, it's hard to say without predicting what the market's going to do, because the underlying investments are based on the market fluctuation. I was also going to say, alternatively, for those who really don't want to worry about the investments, you can work with, and if you're working with an investment advisor or broker-dealer, that's when they can obtain the Tomorrow Scholar Plan. It's the counterpart to our EDBEST College Savings Plan, but you work directly with a financial investor, and then they can provide some guidance and investment advice for you.
Donna in Gays Mills, we'll go to you now. Hi, Donna.
If you're a student that you've put your money into the 529 account, decides to be like a student teacher, and they have, you said, room and board, and they have mm-hmm. student teaching, which they don't get paid for, can they use that money towards like the cost of their apartment or like an internship? Many times someone in the medical field have to work for a hospital for so long. Can they use, and that's part of their education, can they use the money towards the cost of their apartment?
If the student is still considered a student, if they're still enrolled in the university as like an intern or a residency, as long as they're still enrolled in college and considered a student, they can use their funds for room and board.
All right, there you go. Thanks, Donna. Mark in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Was wondering if we have grandchildren that live in Europe, and they'll probably be living in Europe for a long time. Can expenses from that for education be taken out and used for schools in Europe?
They absolutely can. So funds in your EDBEST can be used for technical colleges, universities, graduate, professional schools across the country, and many colleges abroad. So I would just check, depending on the school, but many universities outside of the U.S., you can use the 529 funds to pay for the same college expenses, room and board, fees.
So all right.
Check with the school.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Derek in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Derek.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question if I can contribute to the EDVEST fund, if that'll lower my net taxable income or not, if it was deductible directly or not. I just need to lower my net income for my family, for my kids. I want to donate, or, you know, put in for my kids in the EDVEST mm-hmm. account.
Yes, it is. So it is not taken on a pre-tax basis. You put it in after-tax dollars, your contribution, but up to $3,380 per child, so per account, per beneficiary, is eligible to be tax-deductible, so flat taken off of your Wisconsin income. So your income is $100,000, you're going to deduct the $3,080 per child directly off of your annual income.
All right. There you go, Derek. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. And still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Give a call. What's the sign-up process like? Describe that.
Yeah, it's really easy. So first of all, I want to say, you know, everyone to start saving as early as you can. even if it, you know, it's never too late, but start saving as early as you can and also make it a habit. So in order to sign up for an account, go to edvest.com. Very simple. There's a green button on the top right-hand corner that says open an account. It takes about 15 minutes. You need the account owner's name, Social Security number, and birth date, and the same for the beneficiary. So it's really pretty simple. I say 15 minutes, but it's probably closer to five. And it takes as little as $25 to set up that account. So start early. And again, the other thing is if you can start saving on a regular basis, so you can set up as any amount for a recurring, so a monthly contribution. You can take the dollars directly from your payroll. So you can talk to your employer. A lot of Wisconsin employers offer and promote, we call it EdVest at Work, where you could actually set up a payroll contribution or deduction right from your payroll. You don't even know it's going and send it right into your account. You can also set up a direct ACH from your bank or credit union account as well. So oftentimes setting up that and making it a habit, you kind of like set it and forget it, really helps build your savings over time. So I really encourage people not only to set it up, start an account, but also set up the recurring contribution so that those accounts build over time. But very simple, edvest.com.
Yeah. I was thinking back to those 18 years ago when I had an inheritance, not a lot of, you know, of money, but it was substantial for me, at least, and I can remember my wife saying, are you sure you want to put that money into an education account? And I thought, you know, if I should die or if something happens financially, at least we've got that money in there for our daughter's education. And as I was talking about earlier, now that the time is almost here, will be in the fall, for her to start drawing that out, the fact that pretty much all of her education is going to be covered is such a feeling of relief. And I'm sure there are others who have had that same experience.
You know, it's interesting what you said. If you, Larry, were to put in $500 today and your child is a newborn, and it's just earning like a conservative 5% on that account over the 18-year period, they would triple the balance in that account. And if someone starts with like a $50 a month contribution, that individual will have $20,000 before they graduate from high school to have for college. You know, interesting, there is a study that Washington University in St. Louis did a couple years ago. And they said that even with an individual having as little as $500 in a college savings account, it increases the likelihood of that child going to college by 25%, and it increases the likelihood that they're going to graduate by 64%. So that individual, just knowing that someone had invested in their future, it just makes a difference in the course of their life and really helping them attain a higher education. So a lot of benefits in these accounts that obviously I get very excited about.
I can believe that. Donna and Eagle, what's on your mind?
I have a question concerning, I have four grandchildren and I have all four of them with savings accounts. And like your guest just said, $50 a week or a month really has added up. I've got two, one in Carroll University, one going to Carroll, and two younger ones. The boys are 12 and 11 in Minnesota, and they're going to private school. Can some of that money be taken out for their private school?
Absolutely. Are you saying private high school or private college?
Grade school. They're 12 and 11. So,
Sorry about that. K through 12, up to $10,000 per year can be used for K through 12 private tuition. It's just tuition for K through 12.
But still.
But up to $10,000 a year.
Yeah, that's great. Donna, thanks. Steve in Waupaca, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. So my question this morning is, My wife and I are living on retirement income, and we're of that age where we take out our required minimum withdrawals and, of course, pay taxes on that now. Are there any deductions on taxes for required minimum withdrawals where I'm paying the taxes from 20 years ago or 30 years ago? Are there any for doing an EdVest or one of the other programs?
Absolutely. If you're paying tax on that RMD, you will be eligible up to $3,380 for you and your wife to claim as a deduction. So you're paying tax on that required minimum withdrawal, so you would be eligible for a tax deduction on any contribution into, one of your grandchildren's college savings plan.
Wow. So there you go, Steve, a chance to do that. Thank you so much for that question. And again, where do we go to get signed up and for more information?
Yeah, go to edvest.com. And it's very simple. There's information there. There's also, if you want to reach out and talk to somebody, there's a phone number there you can reach out. The other thing I just want to leave everyone with is next month, May 29th is 529 Day. And in recognition of it for 529 Day, Wisconsin's EdVest program is offering a bonus. So if you set up a new account, and as many accounts as you set up, contribute $50 and set up a recurring contribution of at least $25 a month, and maintain that for 6 months, EdVest will give you a bonus of $50. So,
on that note, Linda, thank you so much for being with us today. Linda Lambert, our guest today, Financial Capability Director for EdVest, of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.